Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAPrepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAPrepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Everyone all set, cocked, locked. Here we go. Your dial set correctly to USA Prepares. Thank you for being in class today. Nathan is engineering today at Genesis Communications Network, the powerhouse in communications. I'm Vincent Finelli. And if you'd like to call us and you have a question or a comment that's germane to the topic, we'd love to take your call. We'll pay for your call. 866-582-9933. 866-582-9933. That is the telephone number for the call-in line. Kathy is with us today. We're going to be talking about domestic engineering, and I have a whole bunch of tips from my unfinished, unwritten, unpublished, not-for-sale book. And so we're going to weave those into the discussion. Welcome, Kathy.
Hi, Vince. Good morning. How are you?
I am really, really well. And so, Kathy, before I go off on multiple tangents, would you like, do you have some topics that you wanted to bring up first, ladies first?
Well, there was a few things we kind of discussed earlier, Vince, that we never got to. I had made some observations. I try to do that when I go to the store. And I do a little research on what I'm seeing as far as what I can't get and price increases. So I have some information about that. And we wanted to talk about checking your furnace before fall and winter comes and making sure that everything is working and what would be the most common parts that you might want to have on hand, especially now that things are so hard to get. And also, we're going to talk about, if we have time, some of the that we, and I didn't experience myself, but through my grandparents and parents about the Great Depression and some of the things that they did and things I remember. And there were some kind of ingenious things that, I remember watching my grandparents and my parents do. So that's a lot to try to squeeze in. And I know you have things too, but those were just some of the things we never got to last week.
Do you want to start with the furnace? Okay.
Sure.
So, depending on the type of heating system you have and the age of it, if it's an older heating system, it was really built very well, and there are electric motors. Let's say you have a hydronic heating system. That's one that has circulating water to provide heat to the radiators or to the baseboard elements. Well, the circulator pumps, the older ones, made by Bell and Gossett, they were typically red or silver in color, had oil caps. And you could oil them once a month during the heating season. And it would make them last almost forever. And so the oil that you would use would be SAE, Society of Automotive Engineers, 30. SAE 30, non-detergent oil. So motor oil has detergent in it to scrub the inside of the engine, remove deposits, etc., and carry that into the oil. The same way that a detergent is added to a washing machine to carry away the soil from the clothes that you're washing. So you don't want detergent in the oil that you're using for lubricating electric motors. It's not necessary, and it actually removes some of the lubricity characteristics from the oil, depending on what additives we're talking about. So just plain old non detergent, SAE 30 oil, can be used. And you can put it in a clean oil can, and at the each end of the electric motor, you may find either a little cap. Sometimes they were red, a little plug, the side diameter maybe of a number two pencil, and maybe a half an inch long or less. And you lift out that plug, and that's where you put a couple drops of oil. And on each end of the electric motor. The Bell & Gossett circulator pumps it, that pump the water, the hot water through the heating system, has three places for lubrication, one at each end of the motor, and then one to oil the pump shaft that actually pumps the water. And there you put maybe a tablespoon or a teaspoon of oil, and it will tell you right on the pump how much oil. That's often neglected. And if it's neglected, typically what happens is you have a leak because the pump starts leaking, and you buy a new pump. Now, the new pumps probably don't have the oil caps because, heck, who wants to put a couple drops of oil on their heating system, you know, once a month in the winter? It's just so much work. People just can't seem to figure out how to do that. So those are a couple things. Also, if you have an oil burner, there is an electric motor that drives the pump that pumps the oil under high pressure that sprays the oil into the firebox. And sometimes they have oil caps. So, and sometimes you have blower cages that move the air. So they look like a squirrel cage, and there's an electric motor that drives them. So maybe the squirrel cage bearings require lubrication, and maybe the motor itself. So those would be some of the places that you would find lubrication points. And you can look up, you know, the make and model of your heating system and see, you know, where the lubrication points are, and how often you should lubricate. The next thing is, let's say you have a heating system or a heat pump that you heat and cool with. I don't know how long they last, but I know that the furnace filter manufacturers tell you to change them every 30 days, change the furnace filters every 30 days. And we've been going on 16 years here. I don't know how long ours will last, but they're the same original furnace filters that we had 16 years ago. We have not changed any of them. I bought some replacements, but I haven't used them yet. I haven't needed to. And what I do is I take those furnace filters outside, put a respirator mask on, you know, kind of like a Chinese virus type mask, and I spray them with compressed air from our compressor. I do it outside, look which way the wind is blowing, and I make sure that, you know, the car windows are up, because all the dust from those furnace filters are going to go into the car windows, and, you know, so I want to make sure that Mrs. Finelli's not doing the laundry and hanging that out, and so I get the dust all over the laundry that she just washed. So I make sure that the animals are away, because there'll be a cloud of dust. So make sure you know which way the wind's blowing, and you position yourself so you're out of the way of the dust that you're going to be blowing out. If you don't have a compressor, and by the way, when you blow the air through the furnace filters, you want to blow it in the same direction that the air, the opposite direction. So if the air is going into the furnace filter, you blow it from the other side so the air goes out. And we have marked with arrows, with a Sharpie marker on our furnace filters, exactly which way is in. So they always go back the same way. And you just won't believe how much dust comes out. Once we have blown all the dust out of the furnace filters, I stack them. We have a metal picnic table on the veranda, and I will spray with end dust a stack of furnace filters very lightly, this lemon scented, and I don't like the lemon scent, but that's the only way it comes, and it causes an electrostatic charge on the furnace filters. And when you do that, the electrostatic charge of the air rushing through the fibers of the furnace filter is so great that it's a dust magnet. It will catch way more dust than you can catch without it. And so you can reuse your furnace filters. If you don't have a compressor, you can use a vacuum cleaner. And you want to vacuum the side that the dust enters from. So that would be in the room where you'd want to vacuum the side of the room rather than the inside of the ductwork side of the furnace filter. And I would do it outside. because if you have a canister vacuum, those are literally dust relocation devices. They capture most of the dust, but the rest of the dust, they spread around the house. So I would do that outside. And it really, really works well. And you might want to put your furnace filters outside after you're done anyway and leave them in the sun and let the bright sunlight, the ultraviolet rays, disinfect your furnace filters, kill any biologicals that may be squiggling around in, on your furnace filters. So those are a couple thoughts about the heating system. Of course, you want to vacuum out the, if you have baseboard radiators, you want to vacuum them out and get any dust out of them. And outside coils for your heat pump, of course, we've talked about that many times, where you take your garden hose and you rinse off the coils with your garden hose, because there will be mud wasps and spiders and flies and all kinds of airborne things, alive and not alive, that leaves that get clogging those fins, and that impedes the efficiency or degrades the efficiency of your entire heating system. One last thing is, on our HVAC system, we have a couple heat pumps, and they have these traps that trap the condensation, and dust gets in there. And what I do is I just take a quart bottle of water. It could be something like a soda bottle, or, I guess a 2-liter bottle of soda. Not the soda, but that size bottle of with a small opening. Put a couple drops of detergent in there, and I pour it into the vent for the PVC pipe, which is 3/4 inch, sticks upright, and that would flush out the trap that's usually clear so you can see it, and you can see the dust and the blockage in there, and you just pour that in there, and the detergent loosens the surface, reduces the surface tension, and all that gook in that clear trap where there's water and condensate just flushes right out. And then, of course, when you're done with that, then you want to rinse it with just plain water. So it'll probably take four containers of water, one with the detergent, a couple drops of detergent, like Dawn or Palmolive, something like that, and then three rinses. Any questions about that, Kathy?
Vince, are you talking about that pipe that's like in the floor where the water drains out? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes.
Put the soap in and then rinse it?
Yes, but if, let's say your inside unit where the air handler is, where the blower motor is that pumps or pushes the air through your ductwork. If you have an air conditioning system, you'll see a drain pipe where the condensate goes down, the drip, drip, drip of the water that is removed from the air in your house. Kind of like a dehumidifier would work. Well, that drain pipe has a trap in it, and the idea is the trap is U-shaped, and it holds water, so it will let the water go out without letting any smell come back into the heating system. Kind of like the trap that's under your sink in the kitchen or in the bathroom. It's a U-shaped trap like that, and there's one on the heating system if it was installed properly. Now, a lot of times, they're just white PVC plastic, and you can't see the gook in it. Ours are clear traps, so you can see, the tan-colored dust that accumulates as the air circulates through the heating system. So those are, if you've got any more questions, we can discuss all that when we come back. But that is maintenance that should be done furnace filters once a month, clean them. But the trap, a couple times a year will be good.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Nearing today with Kathy, and we're talking about furnace maintenance, air conditioning system maintenance, heat pump maintenance, etc., and furnace filters, and just some very simple things you can do. So there is one recommendation I have, class, and you know, there are these furnace filters that are made by 3M. By the way, that stands for Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing, 3M. And they are these pleated heavy furnace filters. I don't use those, and I don't use those because don't need to. And they restrict the air because they have a filter medium that is finer. And you have to replace them at the same interval that you replace, you know, the inexpensive ones. So we have the inexpensive ones, the ones that, you know, used to cost maybe 59 cents. And they, you can see through them. They are fiberglass, and they are coated fiberglass. And it looks like they can't do anything. It looks like, you know, dust will fly right through them. Well, if you spray them with end dust, that's not the case. Dust doesn't fly through them. It gets trapped. You will be astonished at the amount of dust, especially if you have dogs. Dogs are, you know, great for creating more dust than you can imagine. And so those are my thoughts, Kathy, on furnace filters, maintenance, etc. Any further questions or comments?
Vince, I do have a couple things I wanted to say. I know that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I was pretty sure that if your furnace filters are dirty, sometimes your unit won't start. Is that correct? Like if somebody like went months and months and never changed it and it got so clogged it wouldn't start?
Are you talking? Well, I have never seen that, but here's what could happen. Are you talking about the outside unit for the air conditioning compressor for the heat pump or the air conditioning unit, or are you talking about circulating the air in the inside unit with the cage blower?
The inside, Ben.
Okay.
The inside.
I don't think that would be the case as much as it would be the lubrication of the bearings of the motor that blows the air through the system. And let me give you an example. A pickup truck came into our shop. Now, you might think that this is not related, but it is. Pickup truck came into our shop, and the blower motor kept blowing the control module for the blower motor. So the owner of the vehicle would turn on the air conditioning in the truck, and the circulator motor, the fan, if you will, would keep blowing these circuit packs, and they replaced them and couldn't figure out why. Well, what was happening is the bearings lost the lubrication, the bearings on the shaft of the motor that's attached directly to the blower cage had a lot of extra friction. So the motor didn't want to start, and what it would do is it would blow the circuit pack, which was, you know, like $30, $40, $50 pack each time it would blow. And the problem was not the circuit pack. That was the symptom. The problem was the blower motor bearings had so much dried lubricant that wasn't working that the motor didn't want to start turning. So we replaced the blower motor, which, you know, the owner didn't think it needed, and put in a new control module, and it works fine. So the same thing could happen in your heating system, where the bearings are dry and they're not lubricated. We have lots of fans here, all kinds of fans. And what I do, if the bearings are not able to be lubricated, I'll take a piece of aluminum wire, steel wire, or copper wire. Now, I'm talking about pretty fine wire. A little bit thicker than the diameter of one of those fine mechanical pencils, like an old mechanical pencil from the 1960s, about that diameter wire, roughly, let's say, 20-gauge wire. And I will bend that so that I can actually touch with the end of this wire, and maybe the wire is a foot long, I could touch the bearing location where the motor shaft and the bearing of the motor meet. I'm talking about electric motor now. And I'll put a drop of oil on this wire, and it will travel down, 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 down by gravity, and it will reach that motor bearing if I can't, you know, put a drop of oil on it and hit the spot I want. And I'll do that to both bearings, spin the shaft, and it will really free up. And it will last, you know, maybe another year. And then I do it again and again and again. And what kind of oil do I use? Synthetic engine oil. Synthetic engine oil.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
House Republicans walked away from the House committee that's investigating January 6th. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi vetoed two of the five Republicans. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy had tapped for the panel.
Pelosi has broken this institution, denying the voice of members who have served in the military.
Wyoming's Liz Cheney, the only Republican on the panel, agreed with Pelosi's decision. Oregon forest officials reported Wednesday the destructive Oregon bootleg fire that ranks as the largest among dozens raging across the western United States was ignited by lightning, but smoldered for days before it was detected. Strike teams are taking advantage of calmer winds, cooler temperatures, and slightly higher humidity over the past few days to extend containment lines around the fire. The Tokyo Olympic Organizing Committee has fired the director of the opening ceremony on Thursday because of a Holocaust joke he made during a comedy show in 1998. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
House Minority Leader Republican Kevin McCarthy expressed outrage at the Speaker, Democrat Nancy Pelosi, after she vetoed 2 of the 5 Republicans that were selected to sit on the January 6th committee.
They want to know the answer. The American people deserve that. They don't deserve politics. They don't deserve destroying the institution. No committee in Congress will work if one person is picking all who can serve. This has not happened before. House Democrats must answer this question. Why are you allowing a lame duck speaker to destroy this institution? This is the people's house, not Pelosi's house. We will do our job, though. We ask to do our job. We want to do our job. I may object to the people that she put on the committee, but I respect her right to do it, just as every leader has done before. Destroy an institution for your own political gain. America expects more and deserves more.
Pelosi claimed the rejected candidates are too close to President Trump. Film critics say Space Jam, A New Legacy, starring LeBron James, is one of the worst movies ever made. Space Jam cost $200 million to make and market and is expected to earn only $60 to $70 million without a release in China. China has yet to greenlight the film for release. I'm Lance Pry. This is USA Radio News.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com. Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAprepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAprepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Kathy's with us, and we're talking about domestic engineering. Kathy, I received an email from a gentleman in Colorado Springs, and his name is Jeff. And I'm just going to read this because it was so nice to receive this, and this is aimed right at the instructors of USA Prepares, instructors such as Kathy. Says Vincent, I'm around Joplin, Missouri, having driven from Colorado Springs 3 weeks ago, driving to many states. Never seen this part of the world. I've seen these cargo trailers, cowboy trailers, and one or tandem axles. I see people converting them to campers, and that's what I'd like to do. Do you know anyone around the Springfield, Missouri area that may carry these? The answer is I do not, Jeff. And then he goes on to say something very, very kind. You have a superlative podcast, and I learned so much about so many things. That's very, very kind of you, Jeff, from Colorado Springs. And I wanted to read that while Kathy was in the front of the class with us, because we're different from every other broadcast. Our mission is to teach and to educate and to share. We're not here to talk about, whether the president or the resident, what he or she might have said, Nancy, because they're out of touch, and we can't do anything about it. So what we do is we try to teach you how to make your lot in life better based on what we have learned during our lives. And the instructors that are here at USA Prepares are the best in the world. And I really mean that. And Kathy is a perfect example of teaching and asking questions and learning. And Kathy says things to me in emails that are very kind and very nice. Sometimes, and very often, she'll say, thank you for having me on on the broadcast classroom. And then she'll say, I learned so much. And I learned so much from Kathy and the other instructors. So I just want to say thank you, Kathy. And thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Vince. That was very nice. I appreciate that.
Well, I just wanted to read it while you were on with me. Did I answer some of your questions about the heating system and why that motor might start? There's another reason why the motor might not start, and I just want to cover that too. Electric AC-powered motors, that's alternating current motors, have a tough time starting up, meaning they draw a lot of current when the motor just starts to turn. It takes 3 times the current to start an electric motor as it takes to keep the electric motor running, right? So in order to make that happen, in order to provide extra electric current, the electric motors have a starting capacitor. And these capacitors are usually built into the housing of an electric motor. And, Kathy, you've seen these. If you look at, let's say, a drill press, if you look at an air compressor, you'll see the cylindrical-shaped motor, but it has this smaller cylinder, like a bulge with a cover on it, the size of a toilet inner tube roll, about that diameter, on the skin of the electric motor, the outside covering, and under that little skin, which you can remove with one screw usually, is a capacitor, and a capacitor is a cylindrical device. If you were to take 2 pill vials that you get a prescription in, and you put them end to end, that would be about the size of one of these capacitors. And there are 2 terminals on it. Sometimes there's screw terminals, sometimes there are spade terminals, and you just push the wires onto the spade terminals, and they go bad. They typically last about 10 years, and the dielectric in them is a liquid like a jelly, and it dries out and it fails. And so your electric motor in your air conditioning unit outside, or your electric motor that drives the circulation, air circulation system inside, like you're talking about, your motor won't start. It could be the capacitor has failed by age, and the dielectric inside, that jelly type liquid, has evaporated to the point where it has failed. And a capacitor is nothing more typically than 2 sheets of aluminum strips that are separated by wax paper. And they're wound round and round and round to form a cylinder. And one piece of that aluminum foil is connected to one terminal on the outside of the capacitor, and the other sheet of aluminum is connected to the other. And sometimes that wax paper will fail because the dielectric jelly, if you will, dries out. So it could be that. And now, how much does an electrolytic capacitor cost? They're in washing machines. Your washing machine motor has one. Your HVAC system has one. These are AC-type devices, alternating current devices. So your heating system, your air conditioning system, your compressor, they all have starting capacitors. Even your electric fan, you know, ceiling fan has one. And so ceiling fan might be $6 for an electrolytic capacitor. And the one for your air compressor might be $10. The one for your heating system might be $10 to $15, and the one for your compressor for your air refrigeration system outside might be $15 to $20. And the replacement is simple. You just remove that one screw that has the cover on the electric motor, unless it's a freestanding capacitor like in a washing machine. You know, it's a 15-minute job, and sometimes that will fix the problem. And you can look them up there on eBay. So I would avoid the Chinese ones. I would, you know, try to get the original equipment manufacturer ones. So we keep electrolytic capacitors for a lot of our motors so that when they fail, we've got the replacement. And they're also in freezers and refrigerators. And if you want to see what one of them looks like, let's say your freezer stops working or your refrigerator stops working, you can get what's called a hard start, S-T-A-R-T, kit, hard start kit. They're available on eBay for roughly $10, $11, $12, $13. I haven't looked in the last, you know, couple of days, but, you know, maybe they've gone up. Maybe they're $15 shipped. But you have to get the one that is sized for your compressor. So your compressor will say 1/8 of a horsepower, 1/4 of a horsepower, 1/3 of a horsepower, you know, half a horsepower. You need to get the right size for your refrigeration equipment, meaning your refrigerator or freezer. And we keep them around the house, too. Kathy, do you ever end up getting a hard start kit for your refrigeration equipment?
You know, my husband talked about it, Vince, but I'm not sure whether he did or not. I believe he did. I guess I failed to ask him. He orders stuff and checks on stuff. Mm-hmm. Vince, you were talking about the starting capacitor. Does that have another name? Like, would people call it a different name? Because I know sometimes I'll say something, and then I'll go to the hardware store, and my husband will call it something, and then they'll go, oh, well, it's this. And, you know, sometimes they change the name of a bolt or something. Or is that just pretty much what it's called?
Usually, well, the terminology that I've known for my entire life is capacitor, C-A-P-A-C-I-T-C-A-P-A-C-I-T-O-R. And they are rated in farads, F-A-R-A-D-S, and typically microfarads, M-F-D. And so you need the right size, and they will hold a charge for a while. You know, if one of them is charged, you can put it. I had a friend, Jay, when I was growing up. He would take a large electrolytic capacitor about the size of a toilet paper tube, and he'd put it in his pocket, and he'd charge it up, and he'd walk up to someone, and he would have his hand in his pocket next to this electrolytic capacitor with the terminals pointing toward a friend, and he would just walk up to him and shock him right through his pants, and without taking the capacitor out of Jay's pants. So they hold a charge for a while, so you have to be careful that, you know, you don't touch the terminals. I only know them as starting capacitors or capacitors, and they're in everything almost. They're in your computer, they're in your, if you have a microphone mixer, they're in your stereo system, they're in your DVD player, they're in your television, they're everywhere. And they're the devices that typically fail because they lose that jelly from being a jelly, and it turns into like a dust. And they fail. But they're very inexpensive to replace. And you can look up how to do it on YouTube. I don't like to recommend YouTube, but I don't know another alternative that has as much information about them. So I only know them as starting capacitors. That's all I know them as.
But the other thing I wanted to see if you could comment on, and that's all I really have with this, is I know that when we had an incident a year or two ago, maybe longer, And I remember talking to my husband, and he was talking about, like, the flame sensor and the igniter. And he said that if that goes out, he replaces both of them because he figures, well, you know, he's going to do it. He might as well just replace both. But he talked about the flame sensor, and he said he sometimes will clean it with sandpaper or steel wool and just clean off the ends, and then he puts it back in the furnace. He said sometimes that's all it is. I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah. When you're talking about the igniter, there are all kinds of igniters. An oil burner has one. Sometimes a gas furnace has one. Sometimes they're a spark type igniter. So, and if it's for an oven, it's a resistive heating element that glows orange red hot. They can be replaced. I have three of those gas oven igniters in stock here because they keep failing. And what happens is the way a gas stove works, we're going to be talking about gas stoves, we're talking about heating systems, and stovetop burners. The way a gas stove works, a modern gas, well, let's go back to an older, well, maybe 1960s, maybe even 1970s gas stove. They had a pilot light, and this light would be a small, tiny flame about 1/8 the size of a candle flame, and it would constantly burn in the oven, and there would be one pilot light that would be under the porcelain top of a stove, and there would be a tube that would point to each one of the four burners. And this pilot light was the flame that when you turned on the gas knob to allow gas to go to your surface burners, that flame would be ignited by the pilot light. If the pilot light went out, people would just take a match, relight the pilot light, and everything would be good. Same thing with pilot light in the oven. Well, because it was always running, burning gas, the engineers and maybe the EPA said no more pilot lights. So they made what's called a spark ignition system, just like a spark in a spark plug in your car or lawnmower. And when you turn on that knob, the first thing that happens is click, 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 click. You see a blue spark. That's enough to ignite the gas. The oven is a different story. That takes an igniter. We'll talk about that in just a minute.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
It's gonna be sliding. What are today's hot? Keep it on your. Take my. When you go to the season, for 2 seconds during.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
So Kathy asked me some questions about igniters for equipment. And these are spark-type igniters, or they are resistive element-type igniters. So we're talking about the top of a stove at the moment. This would be a gas stove. And they have the modern ones, the last 20, 30 years or so, have a spark ignition so that the pilot light wouldn't consume gas 24/7, 365. And they have, it's almost like a spark plug. It's like the porcelain, the white porcelain insulated on a spark plug. And the end is a hardened piece of metal, like wire, if you will. And it drives a spark from this igniter, which has one wire to it, like one spark plug wire almost, but much thinner, to the burner element where the gas comes out. And that spark will go click, 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 and it will light the flame. If you take a sandpaper and you clean the end, which becomes pitted over time, that spark will be much easier to launch, and the spark will be hotter, and the stove will fire up, you know, more efficiently and quickly. And I think your husband learned that when he was working with spark plugs. He seems like a really clever guy, and he figured out. This is my, you know, my guess. They figured out, boy, it's just like a spark plug in a gasoline engine. And he just cleaned it up with emery or sandpaper so that it had a nice clean surface for the spark to launch off from or jump off from, and it works better. Now, the igniter in the stove is completely different. And if you notice, you have a gas stove, you turn on the oven, if you will, it doesn't start right away when you have a gas stove. And that's because there's a resistive element that glows red hot. And it takes maybe 10 seconds for this element to glow red hot. It takes about 660 watts. It uses a lot of current in my world to get this thing to glow red hot. And it stays red hot, and it uses, you know, that 660 watts the entire time that the gas oven is running. Okay? And the idea is, They don't want, the manufacturers don't want gas to come out without something to ignite the gas, because you could blow up your house with enough, you know, gas from the stove if it doesn't light, you know, immediately. So there are these igniters, and you can see them on eBay. You can type in the word oven igniter, two words, oven igniter, I-G-N-I-T-E-R, on eBay, and you'll see they're made by a company called Robert Shaw and others. And they are used in almost every modern oven: Maytag, Electrolux, Frigidaire, General Electric, Whirlpool, Tappan, Kenmore. It seems like they're the same ones. They sell them for about $15 or $16 or $17. They have two wires on them and two screws, and you can replace them yourself. So if your oven doesn't start, the likely culprit is going to be the igniter if you have a gas oven, whether it be natural gas or propane. That's why I keep three of these darn things here at the farm, because I have no idea when they're going to stop making them. And I'll be fit to be tied if I have to buy a new drop-in range because they stop making these igniters. You know, so for $15, $16, $17, and if you buy two or three of them at a time, they'll cost even less each. Okay, so those are my thoughts on igniters. Did you have another kind of igniter you want to talk about, like an oil burner, or is that something you did not want to talk about?
That's all I had a question on, Vince, if you have more to add, but that was the only one that I had a question.
Okay.
Just, I know that we replaced those before.
Okay. Well, I used to service my parents' oil burner, and, I was very, very young at the time, you know, maybe 12, 13, and I'd watch the guy that would come in from the, you know, the oil company, and he would service and clean the oil burner. And I said to my dad, I can do this. That's pretty easy. So that's where I learned how to lubricate the pumps and the motors, and et cetera. And there was an igniter on the oil burner, too. And it's two rods that are insulated by these plastic tube insulators, and there's a high-voltage transformer that sends an arc of electricity across these two wires. And you do the same thing. You just file them you take the rounded ones and you file them to a sharp point, and there's an adjustment spacing. It might be an eighth of an inch or 3/16 of an inch that the specs call for you to space these apart. And it's really a simple job, and I'm sure that's on YouTube as well. I haven't seen it, but I'm pretty sure it's there to learn how to, you know, set the igniter for an oil burner. So those are my thoughts on igniters, Kathy.
Well, that was very well done, Vince. I learned a lot, but I think it's worth thinking about, because if something happens to your furnace, if you have them on hand, you have it there, because invariably they're going to fail on the coldest day of the winter.
Yeah, and if you have the internet, you might want to save some of these files on your computer so that you can watch them later or have them printed, because if the internet goes down like it does for us, you could be without the internet for 5 days in the freezing cold and not be able to fix your furnace or your stove, etc. We'll be right back after top of the hour news and commercial announcements. I see we have a call, but it looks like we haven't answered it yet. We'll be right back.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.